Yo, what's good? What's happening, Rush Nation? Welcome to episode 75, three quarters of a century, Ash. We've made it. Welcome back, buddy. You're not feeling the best, but you're back from your Middle Earth hiatus again. You could be able to write your own Hobbit story soon. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Yeah, got a bit of a cough and a runny nose, but I'm getting there. Yeah, back on the scene this week though, which is good. I did tune in on the train last week, and it was an enjoyable pod, despite me trying to disrupt it as much as I could.
No, Jake and I appreciated the, I guess, what were you trying to do? Be there, but not be there, shall we say, something along those lines. But we appreciate you tuning in. Hopefully it made your train journey a little bit better. Rush Nation, Ash and I talked about the problems with StreamYard on Twitter. Thought it was good, but apparently it's not. So if you are out there and you are watching somehow, if you could give this link a little tweet, that would be hugely appreciated. If not, you'll catch the video a little bit later on in life. Ash, we've made it to Conference Championship week.
Yeah.
Absolute belter of rivalry weekend. We must point out and say, I'm surprised you haven't got the new fanfare out. You have moved to being a Cincinnati fan from the Ohio State Buckeyes because you just messaged me. You messaged me Saturday and said, I don't want to record Wednesday. I'm not talking about it. And I feel I did you a service by not bringing up the damage that was done, if I'm being brutally honest.
Yeah, it didn't take long, did it? What, we 2 minutes into the podcast? No, I mean, we should probably talk about it. It wasn't to be fair, it was a good game. It's the one game I watched this weekend, unsurprisingly, Ohio versus Michigan. And it was a good game for the neutrals and of course, for the Michigan fans, but they played their games. Michigan played the game so well. Their defense came out. Obviously, it's a new defense this year with a new defensive coordinator. I can't remember off the top of my head what his name is, but they played us so well on the defensive side of it and then ran the ball and just ran us ragged. Haskins, what, school record, five rushing touchdowns on the day? Yeah, they Michigan, you've got to give all the credit to them. They were phenomenal on the day and completely shut us down, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, the game plan was set out when Oregon came to the horseshoe and set out a game plan run against the Ohio State defense. They absolutely pounded the rock. And then the way Michigan are playing, like Jim Harbaugh's old Stanford teams, they did exactly that. And as you say, Hassan Haskins just smashed the ball home. And I don't think it would have been five had for the pass interference call down at the end zone on number four or five. I can't remember which one it was, but there was a big call and it got close and Michigan offensive line just pushed Ohio State's defensive line around all game.
Yeah.
All game.
Yeah, they did. And we didn't help ourselves either. I think we gave up 10 penalties on the day. And like you say, some of those in key areas that led to more touchdowns. And yeah, to be fair, I mean, the Ohio offense only put up 27 points, but Stroud still had a relatively good game himself personally, and we tried to keep it competitive, but I think the second half in particular, but they just sort of dominated us really. And fourth quarter, we tried to get a comeback, but we didn't have many answers. Aiden Hutchinson, the defensive end for Michigan, who's one of the highly rated guys coming into 2022 draft, done his stock a world of favors. I think he broke the single season record of sacks with, I think he's on 13 for the year now, but he got 3 sacks on the day, and he was in the backfield all day. He had his way with Stroud at times, and our offensive line didn't have any answers. And as you say, the Michigan offensive line caused our front seven all sorts of problems. So
They're blessed at pass rush, because is it David and Jigbo as well? They got on the other side of Aiden Hutchinson. So it's not as even if you have one person to focus on. We haven't got that elite defensive end on the other side, on Ohio's side, with a Chase Young or a so forth, a Bosa. There isn't anybody this year that has stepped into that gap. And with the way Michigan's offensive line were playing, they absolutely dominate, like you say. But I mean, is that the end of Ohio State's playoff chances now, do we think? Is there a chance they could get back in, or is that?
I would say no, probably not, because they're not in the Big Ten title matchup this weekend, spoiler alert. And they're even if Michigan lose to Iowa, I think it is, there's other teams around that are just on the outside looking in. Like, we'll get to the playoff rankings in a bit, but there's other teams that have still got the title games to come, and I think that one of those teams, if not the four that are already in there, but there are some massive matchups in this title in this conference title weekend that I think the rankings are not set in stone yet, but it's very, very unlikely that Ohio are going to be able to get in now, I think, regardless of what happens.
Yeah, like you say, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but it's the slate, as you look at it, for championship weekend is unbelievable. There's some huge matchups, which is going to be sick. George's already said he's going to get up for the Oregon-Utah game, which is, you know, props to the Pac-12 and Pac-12 after dark, eh? That's a constant in George's life, but less so in ours. Okay, let's do some transfer corner news, Ash. Fresno State's quarterback Jake Haener has announced his entry into the portal, according to reports. Haener only has 1 year of eligibility left, but he will have to petition with the NCAA to be granted immediate eligibility to play in 22. First off, Ash, for those who don't know, what does it mean to be petitioning for eligibility? Because some might think, like in the NFL, if you swap teams, you're immediately eligible to play. And then secondly, is this Jake Haener? What do we think we'll see from him in his final year?
Yeah, so the petitioning, essentially there's rules in place. It's been a bit more relaxed over the last couple of seasons because of obviously COVID and trying to just relax the transfer portal movements as a whole. But essentially, you need to get approval from the NCAA to be able to play straight away. There's been many occasions, I think Haener himself actually, when he transferred originally from Washington to Fresno State, had to sit out a year. More often than not, when players transfer, they have to sit out a year, essentially. I'm not 100% sure on the background of why that is. I think it's for fairness of the other players that are already in the program, but I'm not 100% sure on the reasons why. But as I say, it's been a bit more relaxed in the last couple of years, and I would say we're probably going to see a layover from this season just because of still what's going on in America and obviously in the UK with COVID, that more than likely most people who are transferring will be granted eligibility. Hopefully, as you say, Haener is one of those. He's got 1 year left, and it depends on how they look at it, because there's reports that he's going to go back to Washington. That's what I'm hearing in the last few hours, that is going to be the most likely destination for him. So that's going to be an interesting decision if he does go back there. But I would be very surprised to see him not on the field next year. And I mean, if he isn't granted eligibility, hopefully he finds out quickly enough, because he then still has time to declare for the draft. He'll be draft eligible. I don't think he's going to be very enticing to many NFL programs, but if he's going to have to sit out a year and then that's it, it's senior year done and no more playing college football, it makes sense just to try yourself out in the draft.
Exactly. You don't want to be wasting that year when you could be earning some potential money, even on practice squad, rather than just sitting there on a college team sheet, not being able to play. So let's move on. Jahmyr Gibbs, Georgia Tech's running back, has announced he's going to enter the portal as well. Gibbs finished the regular season as the third running back third in the nation in all-purpose yards. So big-time player leaving Georgia Tech. They did have a down season. Have been royally thumped the last couple of weeks. But this is big news for Georgia Tech loss and perhaps Jahmyr Gibbs' game.
Yeah, definitely. Massive talent, Gibbs. He's one of the highly rated running backs in the country at such a young age. He's technically still in his freshman year because, obviously, again, going back to COVID, everyone was given an extra year of eligibility. So this technically, despite playing half a dozen games last year, he's still in his freshman year. So early into his college career, and massive potential, and already one of the top running backs in the country. Huge loss to this Georgia Tech team. This is their key on the offense, and he's decided he wants to try somewhere else. And I can imagine there's going to be a lot of people knocking at his door, trying to get him in into their programs, because big time talent and lot of potential for the future as well. It's already a guy to watch out for, and those that are invested in fantasy football, in Devi football and Campus to Canton leagues, this is a guy that's on everybody's radar, that's already a highly touted player from that point of view. So that just gives you an understanding of the potential that's there already at such an early stage of his career. I think this year from scrimmage, it's just over 1,200 yards, I believe he finished on. And already in his career, he's just shy, just essentially a year and a half of playing for Georgia Tech, he's just under 2,000 all-purpose yards. So talent on both sides of the on both rushing and receiving. And that's something that you love to see from a running back.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know whether he's been picked up in my side of the yard, Devi leagues. I'm not sure. If he hasn't, then thank you very much, Ash. He's gone. And I won't be able to
snap. Be very surprised if he hasn't done, to be fair.
Okay. Okay, that's fair. I mean, it was very much quarterback heavy to start with.
Maybe then.
But this could be a sort of Kenneth Walker moment where he leaves Wake Forest, heads to Michigan State, has an absolute, well, Heisman contention year up until last week or so. And then it didn't seem to affect either team, whereas Wake are having a stellar year, one of their best years ever. We saw what Kenneth Walker could do behind that Michigan Spartans offensive line. Georgia Tech, however, as you mentioned, this is probably their key piece, so they might not get better from this loss. But Jahmyr Gibbs, he could land himself on a really good spot with some of the running backs leaving this year. And who knows? The portal is going to be fun. And I think with the coaching changes we were about to chat about in a little bit, there could be some decommits and recommits to places that perhaps are going to liven up these 2022-23 runs. So we'll talk about the last player on our transfer corner to enter the portal, and that is Spencer Rattler. It was hugely anticipated. It wasn't really a surprise. He's had an up and down year, and the twist at the end of this year's tale is he's announced he's going to be entering the portal. It looks like Rattler will be spending a final year in school rather than declare, as we all expected him to do at the start of this year. His draft stock for 2022 was pretty poor. He's going to look to revive that in 2023 by moving school. I just feel like Arizona State replacing Jalen Daniels he's from Arizona. That's what I think is going to happen. But I could, with the Arizona, you know, what's going on in the back office there and the allegations and stuff, who knows what's going to happen. But have you got any sort of feeling as to where Spencer Rattler might end up, Ash?
I think he's still going to be a highly touted prospect despite the year he's had. There's definitely something there. We've seen it last season as a freshman, and there's a lot of, much like the running backs leaving this year, there's a lot of quarterbacks leaving the scene. I think Arizona State is a good shout, as you say, because of obviously him being from Arizona. I think you could probably include Arizona Wildcats in there. They're not the most enticing team, but again, it's his home state, and he's coming off of a down year, heading into a program that are really in the mud, bottom of the pack. And I think maybe a surprise, maybe not a surprise, but one for consideration is someone like Ole Miss. Obviously, they're going to be losing Matt Corral this year to the draft, and they're going to want a big-time quarterback. And I don't think they've got one there. I think their backup is Altmaier, I think his name is.
Right.
But he's not really had an opportunity because of Corral. And when he has done, he's not really shown much. But yeah, I don't know. I think Ole Miss could be a real potential. And there's a lot of other teams out there that are going to be losing quarterbacks as well that don't have someone there ready to take over. So I think there's a few different scenarios that could play out with Rattler.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked about the importance of, especially now in the COVID year and stuff, of having that backup quarterback who is serviceable. You can't be relying on one guy. And I think Arizona is also a good shout, Ash, because yes, you said they're bottom of the pack and have had a down year, but they have fought every game they've played in. They've fought and they've played fairly well. It's not as if they've given up like some of the other teams that we see at the end of the season. Arizona have fought every week. And perhaps by installing somebody like Spencer Rattler, who might improve the rest of the squad, I'm not going to say they're going to be championship contenders next year, but they may have a much better season by gaining somebody with Spencer Rattler's experience and hometown knowledge, perhaps. I don't know. Just
Tennessee as well is another one that could potentially
interested. Hendon Hooker. He's going to be a steal in the NFL draft, I think.
Yeah, but again, they don't really have anyone there ready to take his place. And to be fair, Tennessee's roster now, since all the issues they were having last season, like in the off season, they look like a much better outfit. And yeah, it could be another destination for Rattler, a quarterback who is essentially ready to step in if he can get up to speed with the playbook. And I'd say I think this has just been a strange year for him. So I think wherever he lands, is that I think there'll be an improvement. I don't know if it's going to be a big enough improvement as to what we were expecting from Ratner this season, but I do see a step up from him regardless of where he lands.
Absolutely. So what you're saying, Ash, is that Joe Milton isn't the man to take over at Tennessee?
No, I wouldn't say so, no.
Okay, we might as well stay in Oklahoma. There's been some huge coaching news. If you, the only reason you have missed any of this is if you are stuck in Bermuda with no signal whatsoever, because every single sporting outlet has pumped out information on these three hires. We might as well stay in Oklahoma. I think this was the first one to drop, Ash. Lincoln Riley announced that he is leaving Oklahoma and is going to be the new head coach of USC. It was surprising because we never associated these two together. And then in a press conference, as I'm sure everybody has seen, he was asked if he was going to be the next head coach of LSU and basically said, let me stop you there. I am not going to be the next head coach of LSU. And whether that was because he already knew he was the head coach of USC or not, and was just playing with the media, we won't know. But massive news for Oklahoma. And we've already seen the glut of players decommitting from that franchise.
Yeah, I was very surprised at this, to be honest with you. We mentioned it a few weeks ago when the LSU news first came out that I didn't see anything but the NFL for him, in whether that was this year or in a couple of years' time. I mean, I think he was two years into a 6-year contract with Oklahoma, and yeah, massive. I mean, this was a massive shock for me, and I understand the move because I think, as he said, the roster that's there has got the basis of a winning team. The recruitment process there, he clearly thinks is much better than what's at Oklahoma. And yeah, it's an odd move, but I think it's a lateral move in many aspects, maybe even to start with a downstep because of the way Oklahoma have been up until this year. Have been one of the powerhouses of their conference, and USC are also on a down year. So, yeah, a strange move, but I think we'll probably look back at this in 2 or 3 years' time and go, wow, what an incredible decision he made. And he's already come out and said he's going to make USC the mecca of college football. So he's got big plans. He's a very confident coach, and there's a reason that he's already been touted as a potential future NFL coach and one of the top coaches in the country. And I expect good, big things from him at USC, but it's still just, yeah, incredibly surprising.
Do you think this is part to do with the fact that they will be leaving the Big 12 and joining the SEC, and perhaps Oklahoma won't be one of the big fish there? He thinks this is a really good time to jump ship.
Yeah, potentially that could be in the back of his mind in that decision. He's going to a conference that this USC team should be one of the top teams regardless. And Oklahoma, as you say, could be, well, they will be moving into the SEC, into a conference that's hyper-competitive. And it remains to be seen how competitive they will be when they hit that, when they hit the SEC. So yeah, he could be potentially saving himself a bit there. And again, maybe iron already his future in the NFL, as USC being a stepping stone from there. Look at what I did at Oklahoma, and now look what I've done at USC with a program that was essentially on a downward trend. I brought him back up and done all this. And yeah, I think maybe he's decided to get out before it gets tough and potentially affects his own stock.
And if he can create that monster at USC from this position, it only does his NFL hiring the world of good. I mean, look what I did at Oklahoma. Look what I then did at USC. It's almost a can't miss hire at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely.
Right. Florida have also filled their head coaching position by hiring Louisiana's Billy Napier as their next head coach. Napier will still coach the Raging Cajuns for their Sun Belt Championship game on Saturday before moving to Florida. So Billy Napier isn't doing the dirty that Lincoln Riley is. And Oklahoma are coming back to Bill Stoops.
Yes, Bill Stoops is taking charge of the final Oklahoma game, yeah.
Yeah, of their bowl game. Was this a surprise, Ash?
I'll be honest with you, I haven't really been keeping up to date with the Florida head coaching search since Mullins went, to be honest with you, but I'm not really too surprised that Napier is the one who's been picked. He's again another assistant coach of Nick Saban, and I think he's worked with a few of the big guys, but obviously Nick Saban's the one, so it's another one of those step ups for them. And this is his first Power Five head coaching job, and he did a great job at Louisiana. He had a really impressive record, and he's made them one of the most competitive group of five teams. So it shouldn't really be that much of a surprise to see him take this step up. And Florida is an interesting challenge again. They've had a down year. I think, what are they, 6-6 or something like that on the year? It's been a really, hence why Mullins is now gone, but it's been a really up and down year for them. And yeah, I don't hate the move for either party. I think Florida have picked up one of the best non-Power Five head coaches, and Napier's going to still essentially a powerhouse SEC team, despite having the issues that they've had. You look at Florida as one of those top teams, and recruits look at Florida as one of those top teams. So it should be a good move for both.
Somebody who may have been in line for one of these jobs, we'll talk about the LSU hire in a second, was Matt Finkel at Cincinnati?
Yeah.
He was obviously, his name was touted about when these jobs all became open, but obviously whether he said no or was never approached and has chosen to stay with Cincinnati throughout the rest of this season. Do you think he is happy at Cincy, or do you think he's maybe missed out here because of the timing of all three of these hires?
Luke Fickell, I think it's maybe a bit of both. I think he's probably more than happy at what he's doing at Cincinnati and staying with them and potentially hopefully getting to the playoffs and leading a group of five team to the playoffs will be a massive achievement. And then he may potentially be waiting for a different opportunity, whether that's in the NFL or whether there's a particular team that he wants to manage in college that isn't necessarily available. We could look at this in 2 weeks' time and he could be the Oklahoma coach. Oklahoma's still a big job for someone to take on, regardless of who's leaving and all the decommits that they've been getting. It's still a massive, massive program. So, I think he's made... I would have been incredibly surprised, more so than... I would have been more surprised than Riley moving to USC to see Fickell move from Cincinnati this season. I think maybe in the off season, if he achieves what he wants to achieve, he could be on the move. But I don't think it was ever in his mind to leave at this stage.
Speaking of another job that's going to be open, Ash, that's Notre Dame, because their boy Brian Kelly is heading out the door. He's in a shock move. He's heading over to LSU. They've announced that Brian Kelly is going to be their new head coach, signing a 10-year, $95 million contract whilst paying Notre Dame $5 million buyout. I've not dived into this yet, Ash, but from the chat on the group, on our group staff group chat, this was a bit of a shocker.
Yeah, definitely. I think Kelly as a character has always had a lot of things going around about him and the way I think this is the second or third program that he's literally walked out the door without telling his players. They found out through the media, and then I think he sent a tweet out and it was like a 2-minute video call to the team to say that he'd gone, and he has gone. It's done. And I think if I'm right, I was looking just before we come on Twitter. I think the meeting that he had of him announcing that he's leaving to the players has been leaked, and it's awkward. It's an awkward, like, good, see you later. But the way that Brian Kelly's character, this is no surprise the way it's happened. And to be honest, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a bad hire for LSU. We've seen what Kelly's done at Notre Dame. He's had an incredible record with Notre Dame and achieved what he has there, and he will not necessarily have as many restrictions now at LSU in terms of recruitment and the general running of the club at the program. So I completely understand his decision to go there, but I think that I'm very unsurprised with the way that he's done it.
Yeah, shocker. That's no way to leave a program at all, and they've got a week off as well. They don't obviously. They're not part of a conference, so they've got themselves a week off before their bowl game, or I guess I don't know whether their playoff. They're
still in with an opportunity of making the playoffs. Yeah,
So we will get to that in a little bit. But yeah, some shock hires that I imagine there'll be ripples to come in the following weeks, Ash. From these three and other teams which are now coachless. Let's talk about some recruitments. I touched on it a little bit earlier. Oklahoma recruits are dropping like flies following our boy Lincoln Riley's departure to USC. Five-star and number three overall 2023 quarterback Malachi Nelson has flipped to USC with Riley. I'm taking this boy with me. That's unbelievable. It doesn't surprise me, though, with Riley's predication on quarterbacks and what he's produced over the last couple of years. Oklahoma has also lost Makai Lemon, Trayon Webb and Brandon Inissis, all 2023 four-star recruits, along with four-star Derek Moore and Kobe McKenzie from their 2022 class. That was a long paragraph, Ash. Basically, yeah. There's a lot of talent stepped out the door with Riley or because of Riley's departure.
Yeah, and to be honest, there's no surprise. I can imagine most, if not all, of the recruits that have gone to Oklahoma because of Riley, especially the quarterback. Malachi Nelson should be no surprise that he's leaving the way that Riley manages his quarterbacks. And this was expected. Such a massive shock to the system of Oklahoma losing Riley and then losing Riley to a rival college football team. The recruits are going to have a change of heart quite quickly on that, because Riley is a player's coach. He is a player manager more than anything. So, yeah, and I can see more decommits from Oklahoma before the week's out. So we just need to continue to watch this space. But the rebuild is going to certainly be on for whoever they bring in. But they've got the pieces there. I mean, I'm seeing Marvin Mims, the wide receiver, is another one who is potentially going to be entering the transfer portal. So, yeah, they could be in real dire straits in a couple of weeks' time.
Would it surprise you to see Marvin Mims replace Drake London at USC?
Not at all. No, not at all. No, not at all. If there's rumours of him entering the transfer portal, I would not be surprised to see him step into USC next year.
Question. If Spencer Rattler wasn't put war this year and we hadn't seen Williams, would he have entered the transfer portal to go with Lincoln Riley had we not have seen him this year?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, definitely. If he wasn't going to the NFL and if Williams hadn't had his fall from grace like he did to be benched and by Riley and everything, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him follow suit.
Mental. And then finally, five-star 2022 wide receiver Evan Stewart has committed to Texas A&M and becomes the second five-star recruit to commit to the Aggies, following number one overall Walter Nolan after he committed to the program as well. Ash, Walter Nolan, I'm assuming he's some sort of defensive end or offensive tackle.
My mind's gone blank. defensive tackle.
Right. I thought he was.
Yeah, he was the number two until Quinn Ewers obviously declared earlier, went to Ohio State a year earlier, which made him the de facto number one of the 2022 class. But yeah, sorry, Nolan's defensive tackle, exceptional talent, and so is Evan Stewart, and he's a Texas native, so I think it's no surprise to see him commit to Texas A&M. I think they were always the favourites, and it's a great pickup for them, and Jimbo Fisher definitely.
Right, Rush Nation, you will be pleased to know that all 25 teams have made it into this week's college football list here at 5 Yard College after Ash attempted to jump into the document mid-train ride and fix his error from last week. We started at 17 this week. You will be pleased, as I said, to know we're going to be starting at 25, and it is with Texas A&M. Ash, I've started. I'm going to go first. I'm taking the first five. At 25, Texas A&M, the Aggies, they were 15th last week with an 8-4 record. Louisiana, 11-1, they are in this week, Ash, I believe. Yeah, they're in. Yeah. They're up to 24. Another team that's in at 23 is Kentucky after their big win against Louisville. 22, Arkansas, they're 8-4. They were 25 last week, so up three places. And then finally, we've got Houston, who are also up from 24 to 21 with an 11-1 record. Houston are absolutely balling right now and have got a great game this weekend against SMU.
Yeah, that SMU Houston game is going to be a lot of fun to watch. No, Cincinnati. It's not Cincinnati, Houston, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, but regardless, it's going to be an incredible game to watch. One, because of Cincinnati still being undefeated and still pushing for the playoffs, and obviously they're Houston hot on their tail for and deciding the title game.
Yeah.
I think the drop from 15 for Texas A&M is probably not surprising, considering they lost to LSU. It was a close fought game, but LSU are not the team that they were a couple of years ago, and have been. As I say, there are 6-6 teams, so they're probably a little bit lucky to have held on to their 25 altogether with an 8-4 record. Yes, you've got Arkansas there at 22 with an 8-4 record, but Arkansas have taken out a couple of big teams, including Texas A&M. So I think A&M could probably feel quite lucky to still be there.
Yep, agreed.
Excuse me. Right. On to number 20, though, and Clemson are continuing to climb. Probably won't see them climb up much more, though, to be honest with you. But this week, they are at number 20. They've come up from 23 from last week, and they sit at 9-3 after they beat South Carolina. And I think they shut them out. I think they shut them out, didn't they? 30-0.
Yep.
They did, yeah. So, yeah, Clemson 30-0 win, and that season got up to 20. San Diego State are at 11-1 record, have gone up from 21-19. NC State are at 18 with a 9-3 record. Utah move up two spaces to 17. Wake Forest move up two spaces also to number 16. And Pitt move up two spaces to 15 from 17 last week, but 10-2. Did one extra there. Sorry about that. But no, again, I don't. There's no real surprises here. We said it a couple of weeks ago. I think the core of the rankings are pretty decided now. We'll see one or two teams probably drop out again this week, depending on how the bowl games go. But I think there's no real arguments with anyone who sat here, to be honest with you. I think San Diego State may be the only ones who can feel a little bit hard done by. But they have got that loss on their schedule. They are not a Power 5 team, so their schedule strength is not the best anyway. So maybe I think 19 is probably a fair reflection for them.
Oh, of those 10 teams we've talked about, Ash, do you think any of them should be replaced by UTSA? Obviously, they lost last week and their schedule has been a cupcake.
Yeah.
But they've only lost once. I mean, we've got a 9-3 Kentucky, an 8-4 Arkansas team. Even Clemson are now 9-3, but they've been fairly poor. A&M, you know, they could easily have dropped out, and UTSA could be there at 25. Am I off base here?
No, I'd agree with you. I think UTSA, yeah, they dropped out this week. They could probably feel hard done by, to be honest with you. Like you say, I think in particular Texas A&M, Kentucky jumping in and out of the rankings, Arkansas, yes, they are in here because of the games that they have won, despite having four losses. Maybe even Clemson. Even though they've started winning, they're still not looking overly impressive. So I think UTSA can probably feel a bit hard done by. But as you say, their schedule has been a walk in the park, and unfortunately they have picked up a loss. So we might well see them back in, depending on some of the results off the weekend. I wouldn't be surprised to see them back in and a couple of these teams out, so
yeah, they've got a chance because they're fighting for a championship game, so
yeah,
they could well get back in at Ash threw me there at 14. See, threw me that far.
Oh, no.
At 14, we have the Oklahoma Sooners drop down from 10 last week. At 13, Iowa are up 3 from 16. Then BYU, who are just perennially around the 10-14 mark, they're at 12. Up one space from last week. And then Michigan State at 11, up one spot from last week, being at 12.
Yeah,
it's pretty much, as you say, Ash, business as usual at this point. Obviously, Oklahoma may have been higher, but they lost in Bedlam.
Yeah. To be honest, I'm surprised they didn't drop lower. I think just because of how close the game finished up, and we'll get on to Oklahoma State later. It was a great game. I've managed to catch the highlights and get up to speed with it. But for all intents and purposes, it was a fantastic game. But I'm surprised to see them at 14 with their second loss. But I suppose when you look at the teams below them, there's not many that you would really put above them.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's no real shocks here. Iowa slowly climbing themselves back up the rankings after their jumping out of the gate start to the year, and then their shocking middle of the season. And
we sat here, Ash, early in the season and said Iowa at two. All they've got to do is cruise to the end of the season. Yeah. They're in the playoffs.
Almost a lock in for the playoffs. Yeah, then they just dropped into the abyss, and they're slowly climbing their way back up. And another team, I mean, we'll get onto it later, but if they win, they'll shoot right back up there. So yeah, Michigan State again, maybe can still feel a bit hard done by being where they are in the rankings, considering the teams above them that have lost and who they've lost to. But yeah, no real arguments, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the curse, the five-yard college curse is real, because we talked about Iowa and they bombed off, and then we talked about Wake and they bombed off, and there was someone else that we talked about and they dropped away. The only team not to have been cursed by us is your beloved Cincinnati, Ash. Maybe that's the runestone at the...
That'll be.
Yeah.
No, that'll be this week's one now.
Oh, no.
You just watch it, yeah. But we should probably move into the top 10, and just on the cusp of the top 10, at number 10 is Oregon. They've moved up one. Baylor have dropped the place. Actually, in fact, Baylor and Ole Miss have done a switcheroo. So Baylor are now at 9 with a 10-2 record, and Ole Miss are at 8 with a 10-2 record. Ohio State have dropped from 2 down to number 7 after their loss to Michigan this weekend. And at number 6, the head coachless Notre Dame remain at number 6. They have not moved.
Yeah, they're not having a championship game this weekend is potentially damaging for their playoff chances, right?
I think it could be, yeah. They ended the year with a solid win against Stanford, but I think 45-14 or something along those sort of lines. So they ended it in style. They will have a bowl game. They're definitely going to the bowl game. They'll be hoping they're in the New Year's Six. And they'll have a chance to, because they're one of the teams not playing, and everybody else around them will be playing. Well, I think everybody around them will be playing this weekend. Oh, Ohio won't be playing this weekend. Ole Miss, I don't think, have a game this weekend either. They're not in the title game, are they? No, of course they're not. No, it's Georgia, Alabama. Of course they're not in it. So, yeah, Ohio and Ole Miss aren't playing, but then there's a number of teams below them that, if they can win their championship games, could potentially jump straight above them. So they're in a bit of a precarious situation. They're not playing. They've had some decent wins, but they've also had some wins that have not looked so flattering to them that could potentially bite them when it comes to the final standings, which will obviously be next week. But unsurprising to see them at 6 and not moving. And there's been reports that Brian Kelly leaving could also have a big impact on their playoff and their New Year's Six standings, which I find quite strange. Yeah, I was reading, I can't remember where I saw it, but there's been a few reports and a few articles saying that Brian Kelly deciding to leave for LSU at this time could have an impact on their New Year's Six bowls with a committee. So I don't know. I don't know why that would be. I've not read the article fully. I've just seen bits and pieces of it, but I'm going to have to go away after this and read it up for fully and find out the reasons why. I'm sure there's particular reasons why they think it will have an impact, but I have no issues with Ohio State drop and where they've done. The two losses that they've taken this year, of course, obviously Michigan last week and Oregon right early in the season, have been to top 10 and at the times top. I think Oregon were, I can't remember where Oregon were when they beat us, but they've taken two high-profile losses, but they've also picked up some big, big wins. So I'm not surprised to still see them in the top 10. As I said earlier, with no title game this weekend, they're going to probably just have to settle for a bowl game. They still have a chance to get into the playoffs, the New Year's Six. They've still got a chance of getting 5 or 6, depending on what happens around them, but I find it very unlikely that's going to happen now.
Notre Dame still have a chance, because if Bama lose to Georgia, I just don't see how a two-loss Bama
can,
especially if Cincinnati absolutely smash Houston.
They'll find a way. The committee will find a way to keep Bama in it if they have two losses.
Do
you want to do a top five and then I'll say what what I want to say.
Okay, yeah, fine. Oklahoma State at 5. They're up from 7 last week. Then Cincinnati remain at 4, considering they are only the second unbeaten team now at 12-0. Bama above them after their 14th overtime win against Auburn last week in the Iron Bowl, which was awful. Auburn should have tried to win that in the first overtime at their first. Should have gone for 2 to put the game in bed, because if Bama were going to win it anyway, why not give yourself a shot? But anyway, that's out the window. Alabama squeaked past Auburn, stay at 3. Michigan are up from 5-2 after their walloping of Ohio State. And then finally, still at 1, Georgia. And they beat Georgia Tech something like 9,003-0. So it was, I think it was like 45-0, something along those lines.
Yeah, I think they shut them out, didn't they?
They did, yeah. That's back-to-back weeks now. I think they've shut teams out. So
yeah, just scary. Scary, scary, scary. Yeah, and obviously you mentioned Bama, just 4th overtime, sprinting past a 6-6 Auburn. And as I say, I think the committee are going to do all they can to keep them in there. I think the only way that they don't stay in there is, I think even if they lose to Georgia and everybody else around them wins, they'll stay in. I think the only way it's going to happen is if they get absolutely demolished by Georgia and Oklahoma State win comfortably and Cincinnati win comfortably and Michigan win comfortably. I can't see them not including Bama in there. It's going to be very weird if they don't. And to be honest, I think out of the 4 teams that are in here now, they're probably the most at risk. Let's be honest. I think they're coming up against a team like Georgia that I just don't think anybody can stop. The scoreline could be anything, but then at the same time, it's still Bama. We know what they can do regardless of how they're... I mean, regardless of who's in front of them. It's probably going to be one of the games of the weekend, let's be honest with you. But I think Oklahoma State have got a massive opportunity. They probably got the most to gain on this weekend. But because if they win and Bama do lose, they're probably in with the biggest shout of getting in there. Let's be honest with you. And then, obviously, of course, you've got to take into account Cincinnati. They still have to get through their title game, and it's probably going to be their hardest. Well, it's probably going to be their hardest game of the season, considering it's a title game and it's up against Houston that we mentioned earlier. So this could look drastically different from 1-6 next week. Yeah, drastically different with the teams that are coming up against each other.
Yeah, it could be absolute carnage this weekend in regards to the rankings. It's going to be one hell of a weekend. I'm very, very excited for it. Talking of that weekend, Ash, let's talk about it. It's conference championship weekend. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So if you are not used to anybody other than the Power 5, we have 5 Group of 5 championships for you, which is a learning curve for me. I know that for a fact, Ash. Right, let's start with the ACC. We've got Pittsburgh at Wake Forest, 15th and 16th currently in the rankings. Not a Clemson in sight due to last week's North Carolina State winning and Wake winning. Clemson were locked out for the first time since, I can't remember when. This has all the hallmarks of an absolute firefest, Ash.
Yeah, I think so. It's going to be a very exciting game, and it's just so weird not to see Clemson in an ACC title game, isn't it? I mean, but all credit has to go to Wake Forest and Pittsburgh. They've had respectively incredible seasons, and deservedly are at this title game. I mean, if I had to put my money on someone, I'm probably still going to go Wake Forest. I think as a whole, their roster just has that little bit extra in their offense and their defense. I think their offense has enough to get past this Pitt defense that's looked very impressive at times this year. And I think their defense is more than got enough to handle the Pitt offense, who... I think Pitt's offense has been impressive at times, but they've relied quite heavily on the arm of Kenny Pickett, who has had an incredible year and is a Heisman contender for a reason, and one of those guys that's shooting up the board. But if Wake Forest defense can shut him and quiet him down, you can imagine this is probably going to be a relatively comfortable victory for Wake Forest.
Yeah, for me, this is a speed of play thing for Wake and why I'm picking Wake. Wake plays so fast.
Yeah.
and are so good. They can do everything on offense. You know, they're not just a primary throw or run team. They do both things well. And just the speed at which they run plays, I think they will out-endure Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh, the offense is good. I just don't know whether they can keep up with the speed of play of Wake. And we've seen it week in, week out. Pitt can score 45 points, easy money. So Pittsburgh defense, as you say, has been good, not elite, as we've seen from the past few years. And I just think they can't hang with Pitt. Wake, for 60 minutes. I think Wake will win this one. And I don't know what the over-under is, but I think it could be quite high. So a good one there.
72.5, I think.
Well, there you go. That's a good number. I like it. That's a good number, because I'm not sure the over is going to be a lot, but if it does, I think it could squeak over. So Big Ten, Ash, Michigan versus Ohio. I even put the two teams together. It was Michigan are playing Iowa.
Yeah,
that game is still fresh in my mind from last weekend.
Yeah,
this surely Michigan have got enough in this game. The Iowa defense has not been as good of late as it was at the beginning of the season when we crowned them playoff bound.
No.
Michigan are just steamrolling teams right now, and surely that's enough.
They are literally steamrolling teams, yeah. I mean, Cade McNamara is not really out to do anything at times. I think we didn't mention it earlier, but in the Ohio State game, I think he only threw for 19 attempts and three attempts in the first, in the second half, full stop. It's just all been done by Haskins. And I think Blake Corum is due back this week as well.
He played last week.
Did he play last week?
Yeah, he had no receptions. And I think he only had 10 rushing attempts. So I think he was probably on a pitch count.
Yeah, I expect so. But I mean, he looks to be well on his way to being back full strength. And if they've got both of them, I think they've combined together for over 2,000 rushing yards, and well over 2,000 rushing yards, and nearly 30 touchdowns between them just on the ground. Iowa's defense is good, and it has looked good. It's been improving from the dip they had in mid-season. They were dominant start of the season. They had their dip, and they're starting to get back to those ways. But I think Michigan will just grind them into the they'll ground and pound them all day. And I just don't think Iowa's defense are going to have enough to handle that. And then on the flip side, Spencer Petras is suspect at times, and he's going to be coming up against the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, Aiden Hutchinson. So I, as much as I would love Iowa to win this game, I don't want to see Michigan in the playoffs. Of course, that would be worse than Ohio missing out on the playoffs is seeing Michigan in them. So I would love Iowa to win, but I just think they've got far too much in the ground game on offense, and I think Aiden Hutchinson and co are just going to dominate Petras and that Iowa offensive line.
I'm gonna put a bit of a spoiler out here. If Iowa do get beat and get sacked a lot by Michigan, when the boys send me their weekly reviews, I have to add a title, and my title for the Big Ten next week will be Spencer Petrified. As that's going to be my title. If anyone steals that, you're welcome.
They're both. I mean, to be fair, they're both very good defenses. I think they both rank in the top 20 nationally on their defenses. So don't be surprised to see this a low scoring affair, despite the weapons that Michigan have got in their run game.
This could be like a really comfortable 10-3 win Michigan.
Oh, it could well be. It really could well be. I wouldn't be surprised to see something like that. I'd say maybe more like 24-10 or something like that. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see it a low scoring defensive affair.
Right, let's move on. The Pac-12, we've got number 10, Oregon, at number 17, Utah. And let's do the SEC now. No, I'm joking, George. Sorry, mate. We've got you. Oregon are playing Utah again.
Yeah.
Do we think this is going to be a repeat of the Utah drubbing of Oregon a couple of weeks back?
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be, I mean, Oregon are going to come out swinging, aren't they? But I think, I don't know, Utah, since it all happened early in the year with all the issues that they've had behind the scenes and whatnot, they've just looked like such an impressive team, even when they've lost. And Oregon just at times, Anthony Brown and co just look blah on the offense, don't they? And it just depends on what Oregon offense turn up. If Anthony Brown isn't feeling it on the day, they haven't really got anything else there. Let's be completely honest with you. Obviously, Travis Dye, the running back, has at times looked impressive, but they've lost. Who was their running back? Who was their main running back that got injured early in the season?
CJ Vidal.
Yeah, CJ Vidal. Since he's gone down, they've just lost a lot of their identity. And I do see Utah winning this one again. I don't think it's going to be as comfortable as the 38-7 a couple of weeks ago, but I think push comes to shove, Utah have got enough on their offense and definitely on their defense to put this game to bed and come away with the Pac-12 title. But on the flip side, when Oregon get to title games, they showed it last year. They shouldn't have been there last year, but by chance, with Washington weren't able to play, and obviously Oregon got in and they came away Pac-12 winners. When it gets down to the real nitty gritty and the title's on the line, Oregon do turn up. So I think it's going to be a very interesting game. I'm not going to get up to watch it because it's a silly clock in the morning, but I don't blame Jordan for doing so because I think it will be a fun game to watch. But yeah, I think if I had to put money on it, I'm still going to go for Utah. I believe they can get the back-to-back up this year over Oregon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, it's SEC time. We've got number one ranked Georgia against a shaky number three Alabama. I'm sorry, Jake. This is a Bulldogs win all day for me. I just can't see Alabama being able to score enough to beat Georgia.
Yes, I know. I mean, Bryce Young's the favourite for the Heisman for a reason. He's had a phenomenal year. I think he's already hit 40 touchdowns and has only thrown three or four interceptions, something like that. So, but just this Georgia defence is scary. It's so scary. I don't think it matters who goes in front of him. They aren't going to be phased. I think they're already coming out and they're saying, look, game plan's simple. We do what we've done all year. We stop people scoring. And we're going to do it again against Alabama. And to be honest, I fully believe them.
Yeah.
I fully believe that they can do it, even against Bryce Young and co. I just think if they shut Bryce Young down or if they slow Bryce Young down, that's it. Game over.
I think that's all they've got to do. They've only got to slow him down. They don't even have to shut him down.
No, exactly. I think Georgia's offense have got enough about them to score on this Bama defense. I think the Bama defense this year has not looked as good as it has done in the past, despite them having, I can't remember his name, linebacker, one of the top guys of this draft. It's going to really annoy me that I can't remember his name now.
No, I can't help you, mate.
I'm going to have a look now. It's really annoying me that I can't remember his name. I think outside of the one or two guys they've got on their defense, they've just not looked the way that Bama usually do on defense. So I can't see anything but a Georgia win and a comfortable Georgia win, to be honest with you.
I wonder if perhaps this is the year that Georgia, I mean, they're giving up, what, just 7 points a game on average? Something stupid that.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think that, I wouldn't be surprised if that's got even better considering they haven't given up a touchdown in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and you look at the way Stetson Bennett is throwing the football right now. It's on a dime. The guy's throwing pretty spirals that are just laser. And I think the Bama defense, the secondary has looked suspect to be passed on, and that's all Stetson Bennett needs to do because of how their defense controls the clock. Some teams control the clock with a run game, and Georgia have a good run game, but they control the clock with their defense, which is supplemented by the run game. And then all Bennett needs to do is just sling it about when needed. It's the perfect recipe for somebody who isn't mobile like Stetson Bennett. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Christian Harris is the linebacker that I couldn't remember his name.
Wouldn't have guessed that. I
shouldn't have forgot it because I was looking at his video the other day. Spoiler alert, I'm already starting to look at tape for the 2022 draft. But yeah, just his name completely left my mind. So
yeah. No spoiler alert here, Rush Nation. I only do offensive players in the draft.
It's a good mix though, because I mainly do defensive.
Well, there you go.
It's a nice mix.
There you go. Oh, by the way, what's his name? I'm gonna put a pin in that. I won't spoil it by saying something about somebody's name I can't remember. Okay. Next up, Big 12, Oklahoma State, are number 5 against number 9, Baylor. This could be a good game. I don't know whether Baylor have got enough to take on that Oklahoma State defense right now is my only concern.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it was a very tight affair when these two met earlier in the season, wasn't it? It was, I don't know. I think you're probably right. I think it's going to take a lot to beat this Oklahoma State defense. And
yeah,
Bohannon's had good spurts at times.
Is he fit? That's the thing. He didn't play last week.
Exactly. He didn't play last week. So if he's not on the field, their odds drop even more dramatically. But when he is on the field, he is suspect at times, and they've had to rely more and more on their run game with Smith and Ebner. I don't know. I can't look past Oklahoma State just because of their defense. Sanders, the quarterback, gets it done when he needs to. He is flaky at the same time. But I just think Oklahoma State's defense are too good for Baylor.
Yep, agreed.
And everything is on for Oklahoma State this weekend. If they can beat number 9 Baylor, one of those teams above them have to lose. And one of those teams above them will lose. If it's Georgia, Georgia ain't leaving the playoffs. They're going to drop to 4, maybe. There's no way that even if Bama beat Georgia, that Georgia will drop them out of the playoffs.
I can't do it. I can't. Even if Georgia lose, and if they drop from number 1 with a 1, how do you drop Georgia from 1 with a 1 loss?
Yeah.
Given how they play for the rest of the year.
Yeah, you don't. I wouldn't be surprised if they lose to still see Bama go 1 and Georgia 2, but there's no way. That's the only way a team above them loses and they don't get into the playoff. Oklahoma State, that is. If Bama lose and Oklahoma win, I generally see Oklahoma going above Bama. Definitely if Cincinnati lose, Oklahoma State are going above them. And to be honest, I suspect if Cincinnati lose to Houston, which we'll get onto shortly, I wouldn't be surprised to see Cincinnati finish in 6 and both Oklahoma State and Notre Dame go above them. I wouldn't be shocked at all. I think that Cincinnati are that team, despite the fact they're undefeated, that are in the most peril when it comes to their playoff rankings. So
yeah,
Oklahoma State are obviously needing help, but at the same time, a dominant Big 12 title game could still be enough, depending on what happens around them.
Yeah, I mean, Cincinnati could fall a long way down because of their strengths of schedule. And the only thing that's probably keeping them where they are, regardless of their record, is how well Notre Dame are playing at the moment. So it'd be interesting to see what happens if they do lose ranking-wise. But for them, just the same as Oklahoma State have to go out, win, and probably win big to get a playoff push. And Cincinnati have to do exactly the same thing. They are hanging on tooth and nail to that number 4 spot. And they are in the AAC championship game against Houston, as we've mentioned. This is going to be, I think this could be an absolute brilliant game of football to watch just because of how well Houston are playing. But not only that, Cincinnati played well last week. They played well a week before after having a couple of down weeks. And they know now that everything they do is what's giving them their positioning. So this could be a barnstormer.
Yeah, I think the game itself could be incredible. And just going back to the playoffs, one thing I made a note of, but I didn't mention it a second ago when we were talking about Oklahoma State. Even if both Oklahoma State and Cincinnati both win this weekend, it's still going to be a very interesting decision for the committee because of the strength of schedule that we spoke about for Cincinnati. Oklahoma, if they beat Baylor, Oklahoma State beat Baylor, they've got 3 top 15 wins this year. So even if Cincinnati win and go undefeated, there is still that decision to be made. And I would not be surprised to see Oklahoma State go above an undefeated Cincinnati team. I would think that it would be a travesty if they did because, I mean, Cincinnati have looked great pretty much all year. They've had a couple of times where they've been a bit iffy, but they've still got the results. And Desmond Ridder and Jerome Ford, those two on the offense have looked incredible. I think this is going to be one of the games of the weekends because both of these teams have looked incredibly impressive this year. And both of them have got fantastic offenses, and Cincinnati got the better. I don't know, have they? I was about to say Cincinnati got the better defense, but I don't actually know if they do. I think Houston, and I think they could be very even on defense. So I think it could be decided on the offense. And if that is the case, I fully believe Ridder and Ford in particular have enough to oversee Houston. Despite Houston, I think Houston are top 10 in terms of points allowed. this year points on allowed. Defense. Points on the defensive side, they're 10th right. in points allowed. So
stingy AF is what you're saying.
Yeah, you've got Georgia who don't give up anything, and then you've got Houston who are not far below them. There's quite a big gap on those actual points allowed from Georgia and anybody else. But yeah, I think Cincinnati have maybe got a bit too much on the offense for Houston. But it's gonna be an incredible game. Two highly ranked teams, highly ranked offenses and defenses should be a really entertaining game.
And this is also Spence Desmond Ridder's huge moment in the spotlight for his draft stock. This is huge, but obviously if they get into the playoffs.
If they get into the playoffs, there's real shout for him to be the number one quarterback. I've been touting him last year before we found out that he wasn't declaring, that he was a sleeper, high rated quarterback. And him and Carson Strong, who I mentioned before, are my two favourite quarterbacks in the 2022 class. Even before everything happened with Rattler, I was a big fan of both Ridder and Strong. And I think if Ridder can guide this team to the playoffs, regardless, I mean, if they get to the playoffs, they're probably going to be at four and they're going to probably play Georgia. You then just have to go, well, okay, see you later. But Ridder guides this team, this Power 5 team, undefeated to the playoffs. His draft stock's just going to go higher than it already is. And as I say, don't be surprised if he's in contention for the number one quarterback in the draft class.
Yep. Hello, Denver, is all I'm saying. Okay, right. Now we've got the Central USA, Ash. See you,
Conference USA.
Yeah. See, Rush Nation, I'm still as new to this as you are, and I'm learning every day. So we've got UTSA versus Western Kentucky. Yeah. UTSA, after their loss last week, are going to want to try and win this one, right?
Yeah, definitely. And to be honest with you, I think they probably should. Western Kentucky have had a pretty impressive year themselves. I think 8-4 overall and 7-1 on the season. Bailey Zapp, their quarterback, has looked impressive at times. But they came up against They came up against UTSA earlier in the year, and that was quite an interesting and competitive game. UTSA won 52-46, but it was a back and forth game. And I do fully believe that Frank Harris is the quarterback for UTSA, have more than enough to see over Western Kentucky on the day. But I don't think it's going to be as simple as some people might expect. Frank Harris, Sincere McCormick, I think, is the running back for UTSA. Yep. I think that those two together, yeah, I wouldn't be... It's going to be very surprising if UTSA don't come away the winners of this one, despite the loss last week.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want a game to go and watch from last week, go and watch Western Kentucky's game last week, because they got down early in a surprising situation, but came back and won in a good way. So go and watch Bailey Zapp there, because he had a good game. Fine, right, let's move on to the MAC. Northern Illinois versus Kent State, Ash.
Yeah. I don't have a great deal on this one, unfortunately. I'll be completely honest with you. No disrespect to either teams. I think the MAC conference is a fun conference to watch when you get to watch. Obviously, it's the midweek conference, so not many people. It sort of gets forgotten about sometimes, but obviously because it's the title games, it is on the weekend, so they're in the spotlight. It's got to be Northern Illinois. They've both got a similar record this year. They've both had their ups and downs, but I can't really look past Illinois. Rocky Lombardi, some people may know him from last year being at Michigan State. He's looked good at times. Better than he did at Michigan State. Let's just say that. And I think I think they've got enough on their offense to see off Kent State. And I'd probably say quite comfortably. I think they played earlier in the year. Yes, they did. It was, to be fair, actually, they played a few weeks early November, a 52-47 win loss, actually. Kent State beat them, so maybe not as... But I still think on the day, Northern Illinois are going to have enough to see off Dustin Crum and co.
Okay, let's move to the Mountain West. We've got number 19, San Diego State, going up against the Utah State Aggies. I've got a friend over who is a massive Aggies fan, Trevor. And he just can't get the time off work to travel down to see that game. So he goes to every single Utah sporting event there ever was. Every time I see him on Facebook, he's at a basketball game or an ice hockey game or a football game or baseball game. He's just college, high school, football. This guy just takes his two young boys. He's got a boy who's about a year and a four-year-old. And they're just at every sport. I mean, absolute dream for them boys. I've got nothing on this, Ash, apart from I know who they are.
Yeah, I think if you were to look at this game a couple of weeks ago, you'd say quite comfortably San Diego State. But they've got an interesting situation in the quarterback. Their main quarterback, Lucas Johnson, was struggling. He got replaced by Jordan Brookside. Lucas Johnson was struggling and he also got hurt, and they've now got Jordan Brookside. And he hasn't looked great. Originally, Brookside was a starting quarterback. He lost it to Johnson, and now obviously roles are reversed. So we don't know who we're going to see as a starting quarterback on game day. I think if Johnson's fit, he will get the starting job. But it's if he's fit, and if he is fit enough, if he does start. So it's probably not going to be as resounding as some people may think. And Utah State have looked impressive under Blake Anderson. This is his first season with them, and they have at times looked impressive, but I can't see past San Diego State. I think they've been relatively comfortable in the Mountain West this year, and I think they're probably going to finish off the year as a ranked team with the Mountain West title.
And finally, the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
24th ranked Louisiana Raging Cajuns are taking on App State in what should be a decent game of football.
Yeah, and Billy Napier's final game in charge, so
he's going to want to send this one.
He's going to want to end his time as Louisiana head coach with a bang. And of course, they finished top of the Sun Belt last year, but the title game last year got cancelled because of COVID. So they're going to want to win the title this year. And again, as much as I like App State and Cameron Peoples, their running back who's been banged up a lot this year, but if he's fit, he's going to be a dangerous opposition. And App State have pulled off some impressive victories this year. I think with it being Billy Napier's final game in charge, they've got Levi Lewis under center. I personally think that this is Louisiana's game to lose.
Yeah.
And I can't see it happening. I think they're going to have enough to see off App State come the final whistle, but it's going to be a close game. I think the over-under's 53. So yeah, I don't know. I would probably back the under on that one, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I know both of them have got pretty good offenses, but I think they might cancel each other out on the defense. So yeah. I see a low scoring affair, but I think Billy Napier's going to sign off his Louisiana career with a Sun Belt title.
Yep, fully agree. That's it, Rush Nation. We've covered over your conference championship weekend. All I can say about that is watch as much football as you can, because it's going to be an absolute belter of a weekend in college football. Ash, I'm so pleased you're back, mate. I'm so pleased you're not feeling 100%, but I appreciate you as always, my man. Thank you for jumping back in.
No, I was always going to be back for the conference title games, despite the fact what happened on the weekend. There was I was debating messaging you and saying, nah, you're right, actually, I don't want to talk about Ohio State this week. But no, fun as always, enjoyed it, glad to be back.
We could have made an exception, we could have swerved the whole chat if it meant you stayed on. That would have been a fine thing as always, you know.
Just, I don't think people would have been happy with that.
Yeah, I would have just got Jack on, I would have got another Buckeyes fan that I know to come on and commiserate that way. So that would, all bases would have been covered. We would have talked about the Buckeyes loss, but we won't mention it again, Ash. Listen, man, looking forward to this week's football. I'm sure we will chat anyway. Rush Nation, head over to the website, check out the boys' articles, 5yardrush.co.uk. Absolutely buzzing with college stuff. Ash and I have got some huge stuff in the pipeline for you in the off-season, so can't wait to dive into that, which isn't that far away considering this is now championship weekend. That's been Ash. I'm Stocks, your 5-yard rush showdown champion. That's all I'm going to say on the matter. Rush Nation, Saturdays are for rushing too.